Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness towards us. We thank you that you are feeding us spiritually through your word. Greeting saints, our reading is 1 Corinthians 12, 26-31, Amplified Classic. And if one member suffers, all the parts share the suffering. If one member is honored, all the members share in the enjoyment of it. Now you collectively are Christ's body, and individually you are members of it. Each part severally and distinct, each with his own place and function. So God has appointed some in the church for his own use. First apostles, special messengers. Second prophets, inspired preachers and expounders. Third teachers, then wonder workers, then those with ability to heal the sick. Helpers, administrators, speakers in different unknown tongues. Are all apostles, special messengers? Are all prophets, inspired interpreters of the will and purposes of God? Are all teachers? Do all have the power of performing miracles? Do all possess extraordinary powers of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better by far and the highest of them all. Love. At the end of 1 Corinthians 12, it refers to the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3, it basically tells us we are nothing without love. Verses 4 to 7, love is, which gives the ideal character traits. Verses 8 to 12, love lasts forever, and some comparisons. Verse 13, the greatest is love. Now this scripture deals with the gifts of the Spirit. And in Galatians 5:22, it deals with the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and appetites. So here we can see it's important to crucify the flesh, take up our cross daily and follow Jesus, because the fruit of the Spirit needs to grow stronger and the flesh needs to grow weaker. And so we need to discipline ourselves on a daily basis to crucify the flesh and develop the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A gift is something that can be given immediately, like when you go to the shops to buy a present and give it to somebody. The one minute they don't have it, the next minute they do have it. A fruit is something that is developed over a long time. Something grows from a seed into a seedling, into a young plant, and grows up into a mature plant, whether it's a bush or a vine or a tree. It makes no difference of the end size. The fact of the matter is that fruit can only appear on a plant that is maturing. I have seen buds on a fairly small plant, but it is a fully developed plant even if it hasn't reached its full size. That's just highlighting the difference between the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. But talking more about the gifts, in Romans 12 verse 4 to 8, it also talks about the gifts in Christ's body. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. And so whatever gift God gives us, we need to exercise that gift. We need to use that gift for the good of the body of Christ. And obviously, When we are encouraging each other and when we are building each other up, then we can reach out to the lost and hurting world around us, which is fulfilling the Great Commission as given by Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And so by his death and resurrection, Jesus has defeated death and hell and the grave, and he has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. This authority he passes on to us, because the statement of all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth is immediately followed by, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. So the one statement is causing the other one. The authority has been given to Jesus, therefore he expects us to go and use that authority to make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that Jesus has commanded us. And he reminds us that we don't have to do it alone, we don't have to do it in our own strength. He reminds us that he is with us always to the end of the age. And when does the end of the age happen? When he returns and comes to fetch his bride, his church, his body. That's you and me. So he gives us all the encouragement we need. He's given us the authority, and he's reminded us that he's going to be with us always. So we have every reason to reach out to the lost and hurting around us, to share his love, to spread the good news that there is hope in this world where the news is something you don't really want to listen to. The gospel, the good news, is something that gives people hope. That's why we need to shine our lights.